Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. Yeah! Yeah!
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley. With me, as always, just Bag. Just Bag today. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going good, flying solo.
We have no Rabbit. It is a very intense time for him. Is that what we're going with this week? I
don't know. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could come up with something creative, like he went crazy at his office Christmas party,
yeah,
dancing like he was reversing a car all night.
Yeah.
Just doing what Rabbit does.
The reality is he's working 7 days a week, and it's just that time of year. Shoppers are out having a great time. So we're just going to do this one with the OG, me, and Bag. So we're pretty excited to just briefly talk about it. We'll call it the Christmas special. Dun, 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 dun. And what an amazing night of basketball was yesterday. I don't know if you happened to see, but they're all really exciting games, really close games, a lot of overtime games.
Yeah, double OT.
Double OTs, yeah. Did you see anything that stood out?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. The San Antonio-Houston, I got an immense boner as soon as I saw the schedule. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable game. Portland-Sacramento was crazy drama.
Speaking of Spurs, you think Patty Mills might be getting that sixth man of the year? That's what they're talking about, pretty excited about. Too early, obviously, but
yeah, that seems a bit of a stretch.
He played incredible.
Well, it feels weird to think of him as a sixth man because it's a proper timeshare with Tony Parker.
Yeah, totally.
Even in the last 5 minutes of the game last night, I think Tony came in with about six or seven minutes to go, and you're thinking this is usually the point where the point guard comes in and just runs it to the end of the game, but they have so much faith in Patty, and look, it fully pulled off, hit a game-winning shot.
Beautiful shot. So we are actually pretty much done through the first quarter. We're one third through, wouldn't you say? Thank God.
Yeah, we're about 25%.
Yeah, and we got the Christmas games coming up, and obviously it's Cavs versus Golden State, which is the big one. Is that going to be in Cleveland?
Yeah, in Cleveland. Yeah.
But it's going to be pretty huge for Australians. It's Boxing Day. Get excited. It's the best day of the year, really.
It's the single greatest day of the year.
You fucked off all your family shit. You got nothing to do. You got dumbass presents. And you just sit there with leftover whatever and eat and just watch ball all fucking day. Yes.
Yeah. And set the alarm for 6:30 in the morning. Get baked and start watching ball for about 8 hours.
Don't have to be young or old. There's no age thing. It's not an age thing. It's just, it's a lifestyle thing. Think about it.
It is.
So we had a couple, there's five memorable moments that kind of really shoot out so far. We got 13 three-pointers from Curry. You got 7 triple-doubles in a row, even though Westbrook doesn't want to talk about it. You got 34 points in a single quarter by K-Love. 60 points in 29 minutes, a.k.a. three quarters, really, from Klay Thompson. And this one's also huge. CP3, 20 points, 20 assists, and 0 turnovers. First time in 38 years. What stands out to you? What was the most exciting moment for you?
When I was thinking about it, my favorite moment of the season so far, is it too general to say that on top of all of those, singular moments, that the first week of the season was just so fucking all-time? Anthony Davis dropping 50. DeRozan couldn't score less than 30 if he tried. The Lakers were crushing everyone. Embiid was in the house. Yeah, Westbrook and Harden were both triple-doubling all over the place. And
Lillard.
San Antonio with their crazy win over, Lillard as well.
Yeah,
the
totally.
The first week was so wild. But if I had to pinpoint it down to one of those aforementioned moments, hard to look past Klay Thompson taking 8 dribbles or 11 dribbles or whatever the fuck he did and getting 60 points,
yeah,
barely dribbling the ball.
I fully agree with you. And the 20 assists with zero turnovers from CP3 has got to be my second favorite, because both of those players are my fantasy players, and I literally went from 10th to 4th in like 24 hours. It was amazing. So got to give it up for them. But just kind of reflecting back so far, I reckon that double OT game against Rockets Golden State, I knew that was going to be an exciting game. And also the two first New York versus Charlotte back-to-backs, where Charlotte's really starting to establish themselves as a dominant force in the East. Those were two really fun, really enjoyable moments in the early season so far. Not including yesterday, to be honest with you. It's probably the best fun since yesterday.
It's an epic season. The ball's crazy. It's crazy. I was saying to someone the other day that you could watch a game that was like 120 to 112 and it could still be shit.
Mm.
You know, like that's not a wild and crazy game anymore.
Totally.
People are throwing up 120s routinely, and it's just beautiful offense, crazy shooting. Everyone's super skilled. Like, you're watching it. I was watching a game last night, Houston, San Antonio, and there was a single play where if you took a snapshot of the screen, there was no one within about like 15 to 18 feet of the basket, because everyone's so spread out. And you have Harden just trying to take Kawhi one-on-one, huge Euro step, and got a bucket. And I was just so thankful that we're watching ball at this stage and there's not like a bunch of 6'10" guys just crammed in the middle trying to get offensive rebounds.
Yeah, totally.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful style of ball. Harden looks so good right now. It's ridiculous. He shed that Kardashian weight, and he is just on fire. And so this time, so a lot of trade rumors start talking, because, you know, the ladder is established and your tanking teams are kind of coming out, even though Dallas doesn't want to admit it. But there's just a couple that are sprouting out. In fact, straight on ESPN this morning was the Bogut one, which we were going to talk about, which is pretty funny. Bogut alert. Bogut alert. He's injured, and it's the hottest topic.
Yeah.
Celtics, Blazers, Houston, all talking about maybe potentially trading the Dallas center, Andrew Bogut. What do you think?
Well, on paper, he's always a good addition to any team, because he gives you that rim protection that everyone's craving so much. And a bit of playmaking on the other end as well.
And he's a bit of a thug?
Yeah, toughness, the whole thing. Seems like he's a really good dude. Everyone seems to love him. But the thing is, he's a unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So how much are you really willing to give up for a perennially injured, unrestricted free agent? Who's what? How old is he now? 30 or something?
Yeah. Well, if you're 30th ranked in defense, a.k.a. Portland, maybe whatever it takes for the year to not be 30th. And Miles Leonard isn't that. Love Plumlee, but...
But yeah, he'd be a different look to Plumlee in the way that he gives much better defense. But Plumlee's legit, dude. He's so legit. You saw it last night. He got 25 points, career high last night. He's an amazing playmaker. He's a legit starting center, so it would be a proper timeshare. But for Portland, you know, we're still a season away from having Azili in that role. Now, he's under contract. So I don't know. Definitely need to make a trade, and we need to make a trade for someone who will give us that sort of outcome. But I'd be pretty reluctant to trade anything of value for Bogut at this stage of the career, just because of his injury history and the fact that he's not a lock to come back.
And the Celtics just got Horford. So they're going to trade the Canadian, or what's going on? I mean, like, they just need a veteran center?
You can see them playing Horford and Bogut together. Because Horford can play power forward as much as they like, and they need rebounding help more than anything. So I could see a situation in which they play together, and that's probably a more ideal scenario, because Bogut, you're not really relying on him for 25, 30 minutes a night. You probably start him, play him at the start of the fourth quarter, and you're going to close with a small three-guard lineup with Smart anyway. So anything you get from him is a bonus. So, and they got the pieces to make a move. I think Boston would be pretty fucking good, actually.
Like you say, end of the year, he's up, so he can go wherever he wants.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't get moved, because there's going to be a fire sale in Dallas. They're going to want to get anything back for him.
Yeah. You know what we didn't talk about in the yesterday games also? Bucks-Cavs was awesome. Jabari Parker was great yesterday.
You love him and his
it.
Big butt, don't you?
Yeah,
you're
totally.
All about it. You love anyone with a comfortable booty. You're all about it.
Anyone with yeah, throng. Yeah, that's why I like Melo as well. It was a great game. Watch it if you haven't. So the other trade rumor, other than Bogut, is Boogie constantly, obviously. And I want to just throw this out here: Boogie to the Bulls. He loves Rajon Rondo. He's always hanging out with Jimmy Butler. Not always, but, you know, on the offseason and whatnot. He played with him on the Dream Team. Full respect for Dwayne Wade. I think he'd be a good fit.
On paper, Boogie's going to be a pretty good fit anywhere with what he can do. But, and then, you know, ideally, if they don't trade Robin Lopez, you would end up then having a super overqualified backup center, as well as having Boogie for when he gets suspended, which he always will if he keeps getting teed up at this sort of rate. But what do they have that's of any value to Sacramento? Because Sacramento are going to ask for a king's ransom, pardon the pun, for Boogie.
Well, you make a point. I guess you can't trade Lopez and Gibson, and you need a backup. What about Mirotić, McBuckets, maybe a pick? It's not worth
it. It's not enough.
Not for a guy who just scored 54 points after getting ejected. Yeah, I mean,
if I were the Bulls, though, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'd be. Of course, everyone's going to want to get a piece of Boogie because of the talent, but it didn't really work out with Rondo and Sacramento. That wasn't a good pairing on the court for sure. And like we said in the last pod, he really needs to go somewhere where there's no other douches on the team. You know, so you can't have. Yeah, you got a prima donna in Rondo.
You can't be influenced by other douches.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to go somewhere where he isn't like bigger than the team, like he is in Sacramento. I think somewhere like the Lakers would be a better fit for him because they've got this whole kumbaya bullshit going on with Luke Walton at the moment. They all love each other. They'd be hell bros. Plus, they have pieces that they can trade. So you can't tell me that the Lakers wouldn't move Julius Randle and maybe Jordan Clarkson for Boogie or something like that. And I think that'd be way more appealing than anything that Chicago could offer them.
I like that. I like that a lot. All right, so let's just keep skipping through a few things. I think that's about it for trade rumors. Why don't we just keep it moving along and let's get back to the Clippers. Again, one of the most annoying teams to watch right now. Blake Griffin out 3 to 6 weeks. That's scary. That's not good. His shot wasn't really on. Now he's injured his knee. I'm nervous for him, dude.
Shout out to Deck when there's a bit of banter going on in the NBA group. The Griffin hurt his knee and he commented, did he knee someone in the head? Which is pretty funny. But yeah, this seems to happen every year. Either Griffin or CP3 goes down for an extended period of time. They always play fine. They win 75% of their games no matter what. And they look good. So I hate to sort of throw out the regular season for them, but they're going to finish in somewhere in the top half, whether it's 4 or 5, probably at the very least. And it's all going to be about them gelling at the right time of the year and winning their first round playoff series. And then who knows what can happen from there. So I guess like the benefits are Paul Pierce, you're going to shake the cobwebs off him. He hasn't played in a billion years, but hopefully they can get him into some sort of shape because he did absolutely fuck all for them in the playoffs last year. And I think they kept him on ice just a little bit too much. So, you know, maybe we'll see a bit of Paul Pierce, a power forward, and hopefully that he's still relevant and he's someone that they can use come playoff time.
I think the problem is he's not still relevant. He's too old. He's really old. And also,
you think he's done?
I think he's pretty done, man. Yeah, and also I think they're, you know, what is it, three-time sixth man of the year, Jamal Crawford. He's 36 years old now. You know, he's an older man. He's, you know, about the same age as Ginobili, for fuck's sake. He's still obviously making great plays, and like you say, they're going to finish top fourth, but, you know, to be in the discussion of, like, elite, which what we were talking about maybe 3 podcasts ago, it just doesn't feel right. And so then you can pick it apart, and you start picking apart these ages and these contracts, and it's like, they're looking pretty old once you remove Griffin, you know? I mean, even JJ Redick's old. Chris Paul's getting old. Redick's 32. Jamal Crawford's 36. How old's Paul Pierce now? I don't remember.
80.
Yeah, 85. Yeah. Paul Pierce is, sorry, CP3's 31. They're older men. It's going to be a long season, and they're one of the youngest players just got injured.
Then, but they're not too old. You know, a lot of those guys are really in their primes, in their peaks right now. And when it comes playoff time, you only really need eight guys. And they know they've got a really strong top four. So it's just a matter of getting Mo Buckets, Austin Rivers, Felton, these guys, and Bua Mamute.
Yeah, well,
all of these guys. And they only need a handful of people. And Crawford's still doing his thing, man. Like, he's still going to give you 18 to 20 minutes of pretty decent shot making. And he's the focal point of the second unit.
And Spates. Spates shooting threes. How do you feel about Wesley Johnson averaging 3 points a game?
This is your typical Wesley Johnson season.
But if you play 2K11 and he's playing for Minnesota, there's no one better.
Yeah, he's like 06 Kobe Bryant in the 2011 2K. But you know, maybe this is going to be the impetus for them to try and shake it up and make a trade. I think there's been whispers of guys like Rudy Gay maybe coming over to the Clippers. Mm. We all know that's a death sentence for any team that wants to win. But for this particular team, that'd be great. But once again, it's the same old thing with them. They got no one to trade.
So let's move over to the East with another one of the most exciting teams to watch is Toronto. Can you believe we're saying that? And the bromance between Lowry and DeRozan's like on another level. So much love. Have you noticed?
Well, yeah, you keep pointing it out to me, so that's very hard to miss. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. I was trying to think of the last time we had a bromance like that, and it clearly wasn't Westbrook or KD. Maybe Cousins and Rondo, or maybe a Cousins Isaiah Parsons with billionaires and millionaires. We had Splash Brothers. Are they really tight? LeBron and Wade, that was a good one. This feels more pure to me.
Well, these two are such a cut above their teammates in terms of quality. You know, with the Warriors, there seems to be a whole like us against the world mentality where they're all hard bros. But these two, you know, and you look at like I think the best comparison for them would be John Wall and Bradley Beal. They're in the same situation where the guy who's maybe like the 1A to the 1 in like DeRozan and Beal got paid big money in the offseason. John Wall hated it. Kyle Lowry's all about it. And you can see like the Wizards, there's a weird lack of chemistry on the court. I think they're pretending to be into each other, but they're absolutely not. And it's translating into the wins and losses. But with these two guys, with Lowry and DeRozan, they love each other. Lowry is so happy for DeRozan's success to get paid. They're playing in USA together, and it's translating into wins.
Yeah. And even though he's still practicing, Timmy D retirement just happened. What a lot of emotional speeches.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. Give me the rundown.
Just a lot of, you know, like it's hard to watch men hold back crying. It makes you want to cry, and it's hard. There was multiple from Pop, you know. He finished off saying, you know, like, you know, Timmy, you know, your parents are not with us, but you are the same person when you started as you finished. You know, and you're like, oh, God, here it comes. I'm going to fucking cry. And, like, you know, you allowed me to coach, and even though you're the superstar, you allowed me to abuse you in front of everyone, and then you would talk to me about it later. You know, it's like, oh, God, this is too intense. I can't handle this shit. And then Timmy came up and he's like, thanks, and standing ovation, and just was like, hey, you know, I proved you all wrong. I didn't wear jeans. I spoke for more than 30 seconds. I wore a jacket. Fuck off. You know, and everyone's like, oh, this is so beautiful. And it was just so intense and moving. Not a fucking year of this is Kobe's last game and a fucking montage every time Tim Duncan played somewhere and standing ovation and a wave and a fucking wank off and then give Kobe the mic and then 60 point and I'm the Mamba out, fuck off everyone, and then like a tour of behind the scenes locker room, everyone saying he's the best player. It's just so much more elegant and beautiful, genuine, real relationships. I just like it so much more. God, he is like the epitome of what a great basketball player should be and who you should idolize. You know, you got your kids out there wearing Kobe Bryant jerseys and, you know, who else? Is, you know, like Jordan. Got to get your kid a Jordan jersey. You know, it's like, do you want your kid to be like Jordan? Do you want your kid to be like Kobe, an arrogant piece of shit? You know, like, yeah, he's a winner, but, like, is that what you want a role model to be? Or, you know, like, get a Kawhi Leonard jersey, you know, or get a Tim Duncan jersey or someone, you know, it's all action, no talk. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. They're probably the two most iconic players of, like, 90s. The last 20 years. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe Sprinkle Garnett
and
in there.
Be, yeah, true that. But they couldn't be more different. And I'm really glad that both of them exist doing what they do, because if the league was just full of Tim Duncans,
oh my God,
it'd be so fucking boring. Yeah. It'd be crazy. But, you know, it's good that there's still people that can still handle themselves like that. But I also think it's good that we've got Kobe's, where somehow some guy managed to hijack an entire season of probably the most popular franchise in the league and just sort of stunt the development of all these young players. Like, that's how much sway he had. Like, this can still happen in 2016. It's wild.
Well, yeah, totally. And ex-coaches have to, you know, write memoirs, books privately, you know, bitching about them because they can't do it publicly, you know?
It's great, man. For every Draymond Green, there's a Kawhi Leonard. Mm. And it's a great balance, because if we had all of one of those types, it would be absolute fucking
torture. It really is the epitome, though, of a small market team, because San Antonio is a small market team, no matter what you want to say. And the Lakers are a large franchise, you know, huge. And the difference is just night and day, you know? And then Tim Duncan got one of the shittest tattoos ever.
You don't like it?
You like it?
For him? Don't you think it's sort of...
For NBA players.
Well, not just for him, because he's a robot. And his tattoo, if you haven't seen it, it's like, my inner workings are machine, or something to that effect. Yeah, so, you know, the NBA is a haven for the world's worst tattoos. So in comparison, this one's not so bad. I
get what you mean. I get the meaning of it. I just hate industrial tattoos. Like, yeah. Terminator, Salvation. That's what it, you know, kind of screams to me. You know, even the yin, he's got a giant yin yang, and he's obviously been touching up some other things. But, like, industrial tattoos, you see them, like, with dudes that have, like, coral in their skulls and, like, huge, like, ox, you know, nose tattoos, and then they'll have some weird industrial 3D thing. You're like, bro, chill the fuck out for a minute. You're killing it.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I would fight my tattoo artist if he did that to me. Like, not a chance in hell. It's despicable, but, you know, it's Tim Duncan. No, he can do what he wants.
All right, enough beating off Tim Duncan. That's it. That's it for us. It's over. The retiring his jersey, and we shall never speak of him again.
Until Dirk retires, and then we'll go through it all over again.
Totally. I'll still take Duncan over Dirk. All-Star Game's coming up in February, so we got Christmas games and the All-Star Game, and they've changed it a little bit. 50% fan vote, 25% player vote, 25% media vote. Players can vote for themselves. What do you make of all of it?
I'm for it.
Yeah.
We've had a few instances in the past where we've been really close to having some shocking inclusions, because you can vote as many times as you want on social media.
Jeremy Lin.
And you saw... There you go. And there's been real results. Like, not saying that Kyle Lowry wasn't going to make it in last year, but Drake had a whole lot to do with it. And Drake shouldn't get to decide who starts in the All-Star game. So he shouldn't decide anything except what sweaters to wear on Doris Appreciation Night.
Totally.
But I'm all for it. I just think it's going to... I'm super interested to see how this first one shakes out, because presumably... you know, the player vote's going to be the interesting part. Because what happens if each team just votes for only people on their team?
Yeah,
I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but there's bromances all over the league. They could have mass influence. So say LeBron, you know, has decided that he wants Greek Freak to be in the All-Star game. He could influence his own locker room. Surely if he's having a bit of banter with Wade in Chicago, he's like, man, we've got to get Greek Freak in there. He's killing it. Wade would have sway in Chicago. That's not out of the realm of possibility at all.
So we're kind of taking the responsibility away from the fans and saying maybe the players and the media who cover the games every five, you know, every minute of every game, and the players themselves should have a stronger voice than the fans, possibly.
Well, yeah, and I'm not against it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Interesting.
Because, yeah, Kyrie's not down for he thinks the media should be eliminated from the process.
My friend,
altogether.
I think you're a socialist.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, would you not be pumped on having the coaches decide? Like,
totally.
How often do they get the reserves wrong? And they can't vote for people in their own team. And it seems to balance out. Like, there's been very few times where I've been upset with the All-Star reserves.
Mm. What about when it was David Lee and Joakim Noah? Not very explosive and exciting, but are you happy for those players that maybe, you know, during their prime, you know, they're part of winning teams, but they're maybe not the most athletic or, you know, they don't have a beautiful shot or something. Are you happy to see those players get in there because you feel like they've earned it? Or do you want an exciting 160 to 155 point game?
I don't watch the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Shock horror. I don't care for the All-Star game. I don't. I legitimately yeah. don't. Like, I why do you want to see someone make open layups or dunks? It doesn't excite me at all. But it's very meaningful to these guys when it comes time to get inducted to the Hall of Fame and their accolades and whatnot. So yeah, absolutely. Joakim Noah was a top five player in the league the year that he made it onto the All-Star team. So I don't have a problem having the best guys, the best players making the team because the game's a clusterfuck anyway.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I got a douche of the week. I don't know. This is a little bit old, but the Lakers were playing a game and Timothy Mozgov was playing. And I think it was versus the Suns. And while Timothy Mozgov was shooting a free throw, a fan in the crowd yelled out, MVP, MVP, to the point where he actually recognized it and they asked him about it. And then the whole crowd started saying, MVP, you kill it.
Were they at home? Or
yeah,
were they
they
away?
Were at home. They were at home.
Okay.
And to me, it's like, you know, I like that chant. That chant should be kind of reserved and actually have meaning. Don't just bust it out anytime anything's happening or you're fucking bored at your own home game. I just think it's so douchey.
How much meaning does it have, though? I heard Marc Gasol get MVP chants last season about the third game in. So what happens if he trips over and breaks his leg on the next possession?
Maybe there needs to be some, like, unwritten rules, like almost bro code style rules about the MVP chant, you know? Can't say it until March.
I just wish it should happen in the playoffs only. Maybe the playoffs should be the only place because no one's winning MVP if they don't make the playoffs for starters.
Totally.
And if you start doing it early, you're going to chant MVP every time they shoot a free throw till the end of the year? Fuck off.
For all the fans in NBA games, please don't chant that. Nobody wants to hear, like, Tyson Chandler shooting a fucking free throw and everyone yelling MVP. But, like, you know, yesterday's game during the Rockets, when Harden started to explode, getting to the line, drawing fouls from the three-point, killing it. You know, you hear an MVP chant there, you go, yeah, that feels right. Please don't do it.
Start campaigning when it's time to campaign. If you start doing it right towards the end of the season hard, people are going to take notice a bit more, I think. I got another douche for you.
Oh, yeah? Who you got?
His name's DeMarcus Cousins. He's having a hell of a week. he's threatening reporters. He's spitting his mouth guard at the Portland bench. He's running off into the stands and then getting brought back when he absolutely should have got teched. But,
so what did he
fuck,
threaten
man.
The reporter? What was that about?
His brother earlier in the year was in like a similar nightclub incident than like DeMarcus and Matt Barnes were in New York City, where he's decked some guy, absolutely railed some guy. And his brother is, you know, similar looking to DeMarcus. He's monstrous. And so this guy from the Sacramento Bee made a point of saying that, you know, these guys are troublemakers and they should sort of find better places to hang out. Which is sort of questionable. We can get into that. But Boogie sort of gone right up to him and put a finger in his face and said, don't ever talk shit about my brother. Like, say whatever you want about me, but don't talk shit about my family ever. We're going to have a real issue. And really got in his face. He had to get separated by a security guard and Garrett Temple from the Kings.
What a professional. Yeah, go on.
So, I don't know. Do you think that's okay? Like, do you think it's okay for a reporter to bring it's all freedom of speech here, American. Come on, give me the lowdown. What's cool? What's not cool?
Well, I think if you're getting paid millions of dollars, right, you can't just blow up at a reporter. You just ignore it and walk away. What do you care what some fucking reporter has to say? And you're just making it look worse when you're reacting to that. What's up with your brother if you're acting so weird? For me, KD said it, If you go to the game, you heckle me, you get crazy. I mean, it's a very PC, politically correct way of responding to anything. Have as long as you're having fun at the games, have a great time. The media there, they're going to ask all kinds of dumb questions. Just do what Westbrook does. Put on a full snow outfit from, 007 so you can only see your eyes. Look down, and then when you feel like answering something, answer it, and when you don't, just look at the next dude. It's the perfect way. Or wear like fucking Harry Potter's invisible cape. Be invisible for the whole thing if you don't want to be there. But like, don't get all tough and crazy. You have a problem, and I think, don't you think these kind of things are gonna make it very interesting when it does come time, real time to trade him or real time to where he wants to go? It's gonna be hard. People are gonna be scared to control that
Absolutely.
psyche. He's a wild animal.
Yeah, but I guess you worry that something like this is going to spill over into an actual incident. Because, even if he.
Well, it did in a bar the other night.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And we'll see what happens there. But you can't physically intimidate someone while they're at work. You're both at work.
Yeah, especially if you're 7 feet tall and 500 pounds or whatever he is. It's not like, Steve Nash is getting all upset. That would just be cute. This is like the biggest man on earth, If it was 100 years ago, it'd be like King Kong or something. Shoot darts in him, knock him out quick, he's angry. Quick.
Oh man, but I don't understand why he's got such a chip on his shoulder. Like, I don't know if you saw what happened in Portland last night. The guy scored 1 billion points. He was unstoppable. This should be like the crowning moment of his career so far. He scored 55, and he single-handedly won the game for him, hitting threes, getting and-ones, making clutch free throws. He blocked Damian Lillard on the last possession of Portland's game. Awesome,
Great
like
game.
unbelievable play. And so he gets this weird tech. He absolutely spat his mouth guard at the Portland bench. It was tech worthy.
Like, as in, spit it out or threw it?
I spat it out.
Weird.
Spat it at the
Weird.
bench. He runs out the court, sprints off the court. They bring him back, and at the end of the game, when he's getting interviewed, it's like he's this whole wave of negativity from him. All these reasonings why the whole league's against him. Look at the facts. You spat your mouth guard at the bench. It was definitely tech worthy. It feels like it's some sort of conspiracy that the league's against him. You did all these things. You got into an altercation at a nightclub. You threatened that reporter. You spat your mouth guard out. You deserve everything that's coming your way. You deserve. And is what you're saying is it's so ridiculous. Everything's so ridiculous the way the league's treating him. But you gotta have a look at yourself, man.
So
Have a look at yourself.
is he a baby, or do you think he's maybe got, like an ADHD, or like a, is he manic, or is there a mental health issue that what's going to pop up soon? Boogie's
Soon.
always dealt with depression and blah 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 or something. It just seems a little weird, like, that it's gone on this far, this long, this many times, this many texts, this much anger, this much reaction to the press, all that kind of stuff. Maybe there's a little bit of something a little bit deeper, a little bit more real in there. Needs to be on medication type stuff or something like that.
Anything basketball-wise that you can attribute it to doesn't make a ton of sense. You could say that, he came to Sacramento. There's no vets or anything. There's no big wigs there. He's basically been the man since he came out of college. Everyone's pandering to Boogie. But in college, he was on a team with John Wall and a bunch of other guys, and he acted exactly the same way. So he's been like this his whole career. So some sort of deep-seated personal issue for sure. It just manifests itself in this giant 6-foot-10 human, which just makes it all the more imposing and terrifying,
Totally. It's, again, all very scary for us under 7 feeters, 7 footers. Sorry. Quick shout out to Craig Sager. Got to do it. You want to talk about that? I mean, I know Pop went to the funeral, the memorial, just before I think the Rockets game. He flew to one side of the country and then flew to the other because he's a champion.
It's weird seeing someone's funeral televised. Hey,
Yeah,
the whole thing, it
totally.
was broadcast. Everyone seemed to be in really good spirits,
Totally.
which is kind of weird. But I made the mistake of watching NBA TV on Friday, and it was all these tributes pouring in. They're
Yikes.
showing a montage
Yeah, I know.
of him and
There's
his
some.
son like jumping in the pool together, and it was hectic,
Very
but
sad.
man.
You got to say though, the best moments had to be the banter between him and Kevin Garnett.
Absolutely.
It was like a comedy duo. I mean, you couldn't get yin and yang anymore. Tim Duncan should get that tattooed. Kevin Garnett and Sigur on his back, because some of the funniest shit ever were those two having a quick interview together and Kevin Garnett picking him apart and him just loving it, you know? Pretty epic.
Yeah, we're not getting another one like that. It's a massive loss. It's pretty devastating, and it's, you know, the whole basketball experience is worse off now that he's gone.
Anyways, shout out. Raise the fist. Raise your glass. One for the homies. Have a sip. One for Sager. And let's move on to the 76ers with what the fuck is going on with Nerlens Noel? What is actually going
What the
on
fuck
there?
is going on with Nerlens Noel?
Totally. He played yesterday, right? That was the first game he's played for multiple games because he's been out, right? He's gotten rid of the up throw.
You don't like it? You don't like the little?
I
He's
think it's
got like
cool.
two little JaVale McGee baby dicks on
Yeah,
the back of
totally.
his head now.
Actually, to be honest, he pulls it off really well. It's no baby dick. It's fashion. It's right now.
I don't understand. So you're down if it's dual baby dicks, you're down for it, but if it's a single baby dick, you're not cool.
Pretty much. And the baby dick can't be directly in the middle of the back of the neck either, you know, and sadly just dipping over. Then it's bad.
This is going to be a podcast record for the word baby dick in a 4 minute stretch for sure. I'm so proud of us.
Well, I did have it in my notes. Baby dick, baby dick, baby dick, times four.
Give me my baby dick, baby dick.
Baby dick. So yeah, he played about what you said, 7 minutes when we were talking
7 minutes.
earlier. Woo!
But I don't understand. Apparently, he was healthy for a long time before he actually got brought back to the team, and they had him getting some reps in the D League. Brett Brown's got some issue with him, and they're going to need bigs while they're resting Embiid on back to backs. And I think he's probably better than Okafor for him. Any 7 minutes, he got a bunch of offensive rebounds and some putbacks, and he looked really good.
And you'd think if they were wanting to build an asset to trade, you would have him play so people can see that he's good.
But the word on the street is that he's not a good dude to have around, and his attitude's not been correct, and there's a like a personal issue to the reason why he's not playing it in Philly right now.
Brett Brown, man, he must be so tired, like physically and mentally. What
Yeah.
a few years it's been for that, you know? Fuck that team.
They're looking okay. They won 7 games this year, which is good for them, but I wonder at what
It's so
point.
not. It's so
Yeah.
pathetic that they won 7 games.
They only won that in a season 1 year, didn't they? Yeah, but it's scary. Hopefully they can move. I think Embiid and Simmons are going to be the future. So you got to pace everything around that. You're going to need wings. You're going to need shooters. They need to turn Noel and.
As long as Simmons doesn't turn into another Chandler Parsons, he's on track to make $27 million for the next 3 years. So far hasn't stepped onto the court, so he should be ready to go after, is it January?
Yeah, I think sometime in
Yeah.
January should be good to go.
Like what's the plan there for him? Get him into the point guard position as quick as possible, or maybe does he start off as like a shooting guard or a three till he feels more comfortable and then he starts playing the ball more? Is it going to be like a Greek freak style of progression? I don't know.
Oh, definitely. I think he's gonna guard power forwards on one end, and he's gonna be playing point guard on the other end. And that's the ideal scenario. And they just need people who like moving off the ball and shooting. It'd be the perfect complement for him because, you know, he's got it on a dime, but it's still a bit of a disaster. Let's just trade Nerlens to Portland. We could use him. We'll have him.
I like it.
You can have Myers Leonard.
Totally. Or let's get rid of Tyson Chandler for the Suns. Give them an older veteran that can actually teach the young centers how to act and play, and give Phoenix a bit more energy and a better shot blocker, maybe. Speaking of the Suns, you ever notice that Devin Booker looks like a Jonas Brothers?
You're a genius. This is the most insane NBA doppelganger I think I've ever seen. It's crazy.
It's
He's got the same baby facial hair.
totally. It's like they're half bro or something. Like his half black brother. You know, he's about to bring out a new album.
He decided he wanted to have sex with women, so he's just like disenfranchised himself from the Jonas Brothers name. No promise rings for Devin Booker. He's just getting wrist deep on the nightly.
Totally. God, he looks undersized out there. Anyways,
doesn't he?
That's just a bit of topical stuff for this week's podcast. There's so much more going on. We're going to take about a week break, unless you and Rabbit are going to do one on the after the Boxing Day games and whatnot. But it's a time for family. It's a time for just watching NBA, not talking about it, not reading about it. It's a very peaceful sanctuary time, I think. It's a romantic time in basketball right now. So enjoy all the games and kick ass, and we'll be back in the new year with shitload more podcasts, because we're not stopping this year. Nothing will stop us.
This is going great. Thanks everyone who's been listening and subscribing and everything already. Yep. It's been going great. Appreciate it.
See you next time. Ba-da-da.